From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell, of course, doing the home edition, speaking with my guest, who is apparently protected, if not quite blessed, in a church somewhere in rural Massachusetts, the artist-photographer Gregory Crudson, whose new exhibition of photography, An Eclipse of Moths, is at Gagosian Gallery in Beverly Hills. Gregory, thank you so much for doing the show.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
Again, you have a low threshold for pleasure, but I'm not going to hold that against you. You're in a church. I will say this to you, though. What I've always found so striking about the photos is that they remind me of the moment in the dream just before you wake up, where everything feels crystal clear and almost normal, but not quite.
Yeah, well, welcome to my dream world. You know, we were just discussing off-air movies, and, you know, my photographs had the advantage of having no before and after. So whatever story they tell remains a question or a mystery. And rather than seeing that as a limitation, I feel that that's part of the power of still photographs, is that they kind of exist in that in-between place, between something that might have happened or might happen, I guess you could say.
I disagree a little bit about their having no before and after, because I think what's so thrilling about them is as viewers, as participants, really, we get to bring our own stories to them. And I think they're really full of portent. And they're so often, I guess what I would call, ominous skies in your photographs.
Yeah, maybe to clarify, what I meant was perhaps the pictures are a mystery to me in terms of I'm entirely invested in the single image. And if I knew exactly what was happening in terms of a literal storyline, I think I would be less interested in them. But to like have these moments that don't finally reveal themselves to me, it becomes a more sort of interesting equation. And I do, one thing, and particularly in this group of pictures, I'm really hoping for is to get a great sense of atmosphere or weather, not only in the skies, but in terms of the light and the color and the mood of the pictures. All of that's very important to me.
Yeah, I think atmosphere is a great word because, and I don't know if we can properly ascribe this word to photographs, but in some, it feels like there's almost a kind of humidity in them, a kind of density around the images, if you know what I mean.
Well, these pictures were all taken during the summer of 2018, during about an 8-week period. And they were really made at the very height of summer. And, you know, we used fog machines and also wet down the streets to increase that kind of hothouse atmosphere, I would say, to make it feel like there's a kind of heat to the pictures. Also, there's in every picture, there's a sense of overgrowing nature. That is, I think, a theme in the pictures in terms of the qualities of, or the relationship between these emptied out streets and the impinging natural world.
It's so weird because given the kind of year we've been through, not just in political terms, but in kind of in climatic terms, I just find myself, these pictures seem to be, have a greater weight than they would have normally. I mean, given that we've had tropical storms and wildfire, it just seems like that nature is such a presence in these photographs, feels really kind of almost propitious.
Well, in many ways, you know, I made the pictures working through themes that I really want to explore, including brokenness and dislocation, but also a hope for some possible redemption and connection. And I guess I could never have known that, like, their meanings would be transformed in the moment we're in now, you know, and I think that part of the job of art in a certain way is to try to create some kind of connection to the moment. But this is something you can never anticipate.
It's so interesting that you use that word connection, because I was thinking about looking at these photos, and for example, a photo like in plate number 8, which people have to go see the exhibition that Gagosian know what we're talking about, but I can feel the need for contact in that photograph, even though the subjects almost seem to be subscribing to social distance in it. We can feel the need to connect, that need for connection you were talking about.
Yeah, well, for me, that's like the central theme in the work. You know, the title, An Eclipse of Moths, comes from a real term that is the term for moths being drawn to light sources. And I set out to make a series of pictures where there are these lone figures in these emptied out streets being drawn to street lamps. And I really do feel that there's a sense of possibility in these pictures, a sense of possible connection. And for me, it's primarily through light, you know, using light as a way of telling a story, as a narrative code, as a way of drawing the figures in, but also the viewers. So I'm glad you picked up on that, because I feel that, like, certainly it's maybe easier to see the sense of dislocation or alienation in the pictures, but I think they also try to provide some sense of connection through, primarily through form, through beauty and atmosphere and light.
No, because even though, and so often in these photos, we see streets that may be broken, it actually feels like it's, in this way, nature trying to reclaim what belongs to it and to try to create some sense of balance. And I found these to be a really sort of optimistic exhibition of photographs.
Well, thank you. I mean, for me, I think that's part of the job of the artist is, you know, to kind of look into a chaotic and seemingly almost cruel world and find some sense of hope or some sense of order. Like, my first and foremost intention always in making a picture is trying to make it as beautiful and mysterious as possible. And then, of course, there's the underlining psychological unease or disconnection in the pictures as well.
That title and what it connotes, and also the sense, I think there's a sense of urgency in these photos, really make it feel to me like you're doing what an artist should be doing, which is to capture the soul of where he lives. And there's some part of art that I find always kind of prescient about these things. And I think this collection really feels like that.
Well, one of the things I attempt to do in my pictures is I want to create a world that somehow feels outside of time. I mean, if you notice, there are no signifiers in the moment we live in, no cell phones, no contemporary signs of life. I bring in prop cars. I photograph in intentionally nondescript locations. But at the same time, although the pictures feel outside of time, there's a paradox that I want them to also feel relevant to the moment. So there's a strange coming together, you know, or at least I hope so, of describing a world that feels both remote and also familiar in one way or another. I want them to resonate with some sense of the collective imagination.
I guess what I'm getting at, and I think you're talking about it really beautifully here, is that there's so often a sense of lived-in drama in the photographs. And I think that's kind of key to the way you work, is to create something that feels, as you were saying, familiar, but there is a kind of mystique to it that feels like it's, again, a moment that's kind of receding even as we're watching it. And so there feels like there's at least emotional movement in these photographs.
Yeah, well, the whole process always begins with me location scouting, which is a really important part of the whole process, where I drive through these locations over and over again. And I'm looking for something that feels, again, nondescript in a certain way, but also like that it has the potential to tell a story, the location itself. And as I sort of return to these locations, an image will occur in my mind. And usually it's quite simple, like a lone figure getting out of a car or a small occurrence of some sort. And then I, with my partner, we write a description of this scene. And that becomes the kind of signpost or the Bible for making the picture months later. The actual narrative that occurs is, I sort of revise it over and over again because I don't want to make a, I don't want whatever is happening to be overly determined or too literal. Yet I want it to be evocative in some way. So it's that coming together of something that feels, at least on the surface, small or uneventful, but then I want to take that and transform it and make it something larger, something more poetic or metaphorical at the same time.
I think what you're talking about, and I think I mentioned this too when we met, is there's a kind of an almost primal sense of longing in a lot of your work. And I wonder if that's when you became conscious of your ability to create that in photographs.
I think I really agree with that. I think longing is something that really is important to the work generally. I think, you know, I don't want to speak for all photographers, but I do feel that at least I am drawn to the medium because of a sense of feeling somewhat separated or disconnected from the world. And even the very act of putting a camera to your eyes is an act of mediation. It's an act of separation. Just by the very circumstance of framing something, I do feel like there's a tension there or an opposition between being there and being absent in a certain way. I like the phrase there, but not there. So I feel like that's like a larger narrative that probably is coming from my own biography, my own history. And it's played out, I think, over and over again in the pictures.
This is a great place to take a break. We'll take a quick break and talk more with our guest photographer, artist, I say, Gregory Crutzen, whose new exhibition, An Eclipse of Moths, is at the Gagosian Gallery in Los Angeles. It's a treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. My guest is photographer-artist Gregory Crutzen. His new exhibition of work, An Eclipse of Moths, is at Gagosian Gallery. Before the break, you were talking about your own biography, and I want you to talk a little bit more about that, about what it is that informs the work.
I grew up in Park Slope in Brooklyn, and my father was a psychoanalyst, and he had his office in the basement of our home in Park Slope, and I feel that like one of my earliest aesthetic memories was attempting to listen to the sessions by putting my ear to the floorboards of our living room. When I think back at it now, I think that is like a reoccurring kind of aesthetic motif in my work of like trying to project a story about something that's beneath or removed from you, is secret or forbidden in some way. Secrets in the domestic space. I think that's, I keep returning to that over and over again in my pictures. And When I was 10 years old, my father brought me to the Diane Arbus retrospective at the Museum of Modern Art. And I think that was like, I guess, my earliest understanding of how a still photograph could have like psychological urgency.
No, I mean, there's so much to talk about here, because as you were talking about that, I found myself thinking about the moment in Citizen Kane where Bernstein talks about seeing the young woman.
Yes.
And she saw for an instant and she didn't see him. And he says, there's not a week that goes by that I don't think about that moment. And just being lost in something and being in it and being distant from it at the same time, that moment is kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel that, like, I love that moment too, because it's the defining moment that, like, I think we're all doomed in a certain way to like sort of circle around these early obsessions and fixations. And I feel that every artist has one story to tell, and you know, we spend our lifetime revisiting these central motifs or preoccupations, and we do our best to reinvent them, but the central story remains the same. You can't get away from yourself ever.
Gosh, I don't know if you remember when we first met, but I brought up the old Burke Lancaster movie, The Swimmer, and we ended up talking about John Cheever for a little bit, but that sort of dipping in and out and entering people's lives and people wondering about who and what you are as you enter those lives. I mean, that idea of this kind of almost active voyeurism is something that really I connect to your work.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite short stories, and I love the movie as well. And I don't know if you remember, but I'm a long-distance swimmer. I swim daily, religiously, in local lakes around here. It's very much part of my routine, and it's also part of my aesthetic process, I believe. So I strongly relate to that character, for sure.
Because we're talking about that need to connect, and because we talked about how different those things are, but the movie and the short story, but how they're really about this fundamental need to sort of enter and leave, to make an impact and not make an impact, and all these sort of things that are really so powerful and ephemeral almost. And again, I was asking you this, when you were aware that you had the ability to create all these motifs and to evoke all these emotions in these photographs, I wonder at what point that occurred to you that you could do this, or if it feels like it's a constant process of you trying to refine it and make it work.
My original plan was I wanted to follow in the footsteps and my father and become a psychiatrist. But I suffered from severe dyslexia, still suffer from it, and academia was very difficult for me. In fact, it's sort of the very nature of test-taking or linear thought was almost impossible. And it wasn't until I took my first Photo One class, actually with the artist Laurie Simmons in college, and I saw my first picture come to life in the developer, that I realized I had understood still images, maybe precisely because there's no before, no after, and no linear narrative. And I immediately understood that this is like my medium. This is how I kind of understand the world. From moment one, I wanted to try to create a photographic language that hovered between the still photograph and cinematic production. Because I always loved movies. I love movies probably more so than any other art form. I love the way movies look and light on a screen. And so I think from very early moment, in a very modest way, I attempted to bring elements of movie making into still pictures. And that, of course, evolved to where it is now, where I making my pictures is very much like making a independent movie or something. Like, I've been working with the same DP and same camera operator and crew for over 25 years now. And it's all in an effort to try to tell the story that's I'm trying to project outwards.
As you were talking, though, I just found myself thinking about how these photographs really are this thing that are more than just still photography, but also they feel like a medium unto themselves to me, because I'm aware of the way you use the center of the frame in a way that photographers often don't. And that strikes me as being a cinematic thing, but also there's a way to use the top of the frame that doesn't feel like a movie at all. So you're bringing in elements that are particular to both, but in the way that makes these photographs feel like their own thing.
I always say that, like, in many ways, my photographs are like making a movie, but as in many ways, they're not. As you sort of suggest, they're it's its own thing. And, you know, a lot of my crew that I work with, you know, for so many years now, who primarily work in movies, I think one of the reasons they're drawn to being on our productions is because essentially what we're after is finding one perfect moment 16 times. And the effort always is to make a picture and invest everything we can into trying to make everything feel important and vital. And so I go through great efforts to both in production and post-production to have absolute clarity in the pictures. Everything is completely heightened in terms of focus, and every aspect of the frame is important, from like the street signs to the cracks in the pavement to the skies to all of it is kind of adding to create the world of the picture. So that, you know, we're privileging that moment over any other moment. Unlike a movie, we don't have to worry about dialogue or continuity or editing or sound or any of those vulgarities.
One of the things I find so great about the work, and I mentioned this to you when we met, is that there's not that sense of the eye being guided to a certain point, a kind of often subtle manipulation, it's often not so subtle in movie making, in still photography, where there's something that's foregrounded, or in filmmaking, then the one is deep focus is because you eye is supposed to go to the back of the frame first and then read backwards from there. But by offering so much information, it really does feel like an immersion that demands some kind of, I hate to use this word, fluency, that both photographs and movies kind of demand.
Yeah, because it's this one moment and there is no additional continuity, or everything in the frame matters. Everything has meaning. I think in particularly in this body of work, where it's first and foremost is about these locations, the scale of these pictures, you know, is vast. And usually we're looking from the vantage point of a kind of elevated vantage point. So we're usually about 30 or 40 feet in the air. And the figures are small. So they're very much about these kind of lone figures in these large spaces. And because of that, they're equally about the buildings and the cars and as I suggested, all these sort of elements that come together to create some ultimate meaning.
Gosh, but you know, it's so much. I mean, again, it feels like such a mix of media in these things, because at the same time, the title suggests something literary, you know, Beneath the Roses or Cathedral of the Pines or this new collection, An Eclipse of Moths, that it really is like you're trying to work people's or to get people involved in ways that they often silo. I mean, literature is over here and film is here and still photography is there. And it's, I hate to use the word intersectionality, so I won't. I'll say instead that you want to involve people's attention in a way that is kind of singular.
Well, I think first and foremost, if I would describe myself as a maker. I would call myself a storyteller. I really do want to use any aspect of storytelling I can, whether it's cinematic or photographic or literary. In fact, there's like some very quiet literary references in these pictures. One street sign that we put in is Starkfield Lane, which is from Edith Wharton's Ethan Frome. And then there's a Melville Street. Edith Wharton and Melville both lived in the area and wrote here. So there's like little references in the pictures that are giving the work, I think, a literary dimension of some sort.
What do you say to your camera subjects when you're getting them to where you want them in the frame? How do you direct them, if you will?
I actually say as little as possible. We have this written description that we use for casting. All the people in the pictures, all the subjects are people that we found in the area, in the neighborhoods. That was really important. By the time they come on set, I know exactly where they're going to stand or how they're going to be positioned. And I think it's really important. I want there to be a kind of slight disconnection between me and the subject. I want that sort of almost something uncomfortable to happen. And I just direct them. My usual direction is, firstly, I just make very small changes in the way their body's positioned in terms of gesture and exactly their viewing point. There's no improv whatsoever in the pictures. My only instruction is saying that I want less, you know, give me less. I want there to be almost nothing in terms of like any projection or any motivation or I want them to feel kind of emptied out. And we pick the people based on just a quality, you know, of a sense of that they could feel like they exist in this world and they're haunted in some way, maybe, or lost. And then if you notice in a lot of these pictures, of course, what they're wearing is just like very ordinary, usually like stained clothes. There's a lot of like flesh in the pictures. There's a lot of bare feet. A lot of times, you know, figures are feeling that sense of lost and disconnected, but on the verge of something, I guess.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you take the time to talk to us about this. And please come back again. Make that movie, for goodness sakes. We're waiting for it.
As they say in Hollywood, hurry up and wait.
Well, hurry up and make is what we're saying here. Our guest is photographer, artist, Gregory Crutz, and his new exhibition is at Gagosian Gallery through November 21st. It's called An Eclipse of Moths. A recording engineer who also mixes the show, so I have to wish you good luck with that, is Kat Yours, edited by Rebecca Mooney. To better days, everybody. I mean it this time. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.